this psalm quite a few times before in the past, but I thought we'd go over it as we have been doing with a few of the psalms, and it is Psalm 11. Psalm 11, if you open your Bibles and turn there with me. Psalm 11 is one of my favorite psalms because of how straightforward and simple it is and some very simple topics. But Psalm 11, another psalm talking about putting your trust in the Lord, talking about how even one of the most famous verses in the Bible, how the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates, verse 5. So we'll talk about a few of these things here and even reference it to the writer of this psalm, David. And we'll try to, of course, put into perspective maybe how David was feeling in times in his life. As we know, many of the psalms that he wrote that were talking about sad things that were going on in his life and how he was having to depend on God amongst trials, many of those things are related to his trial with King Saul and his dealings with how Saul was trying to hunt him down, how he was trying to kill him. And so, of course, it is important that we read through these things and, of course, apply them to our life as Christians as we deal through hardships and trials as well. So starting back there in verse 1, if you will, with me, read that. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And so, starting off here, we know that David immediately is putting his trust in God as we are about to look at the context of this psalm. He's taking refuge rather than man. He's taking refuge in the Lord. And so something that we forget at times as Christians, and this is just a message of challenge to all of us, myself included, is we sometimes depend on man so much and our minds are so physically based that we forget that there's a God in heaven that's providing for us as Christians and that is taking care of us. Something as a younger preacher that I've had to realize and that I've had to learn that my father, as he is a preacher as well, and my grandfather have had to help me realize is that you will always be provided for as long as you are doing the right thing. And that's something that throughout at least the short time that I've been doing it, I've started to learn and started to realize that God really does take care of you in ways that you really don't even expect sometimes. But, you know, one day, you know, you might get what you never expected to happen and you'll be taken care of. And you didn't expect that the last year or the last few weeks, but it eventually does happen. And it just takes that endurance and it takes that trust in God. And that's really why these psalms are so important, brethren, for us to continue having today as Christians, and why it's important for us to read these things. Because we go through these hardships, we go through the trials, and yesterday at men's breakfast I was talking about this as well, the hardships and the trials and the health issues that you go through, and you know, you just sometimes you're really roughing it, and it gets really discouraging. But then still, we forget. Don't just depend on those doctors. Don't just depend on those hospitals and only on the, you know, only thinking about the bills and, you know, taxes and all those things that can get you down. Start thinking more about God and how God is there and he's taking care of you as his child. And that's something that I've forgotten so much throughout my life and especially recently. But, you know, that's something I'm working on too, is trying to trust in God more. That's really important in the endurance of a Christian. Trusting in God. Because, I mean, the very, you know, one of the reasons that we even continue doing what we're doing is even for the hope of heaven. But if we don't continue to trust in God even for the hope of heaven, then, well, our faith is faulty. Our faith cannot stand. It can't endure. So trust in God is of the utmost importance. And whenever we go through those hardships, it is important to go back and read scriptures such as this to remind us, just as we would, as my father reminded me, my physical father, he reminded me that you need to trust in God, son. You need to trust in God. You need to understand that he's going to provide for you. Stop worrying so much about money and things about, and all these different types of things as a preacher. You know, I feel like today in this economy, you know, you got to get out and go get a degree. You got to, you know, another degree and another one, you know, to make sure that you have stability for your family. But you know, something as a preacher I need to remember is that the church is there and the church will provide for me. You know, God provides through the church, even for me as a preacher. And so that's something I personally just wanted to talk about and remind, you know, everybody here of. Just an example to really contribute to this lesson to trust in God and to not get so worried about the things that man puts in your face and the things that you run into in life at first, but trust in God and understand He's going to get you through it, even though it can get really, really hard, and I know it can. I know it can. But He's going to get you through it. He's going to get you through it. And just choose God every time. We've been going through those minor prophet books. We started going through Hosea now. We're reading about all those kings. They're putting their trust in all their alliances with all these different kings, the Syrian kings, the Assyrian kings. They're selling themselves out. Stop selling yourself out. Myself included. Let's stop selling ourselves out. Stop selling your soul out to some person who doesn't even know better. Rather, act as a slave of God. Act as somebody who depends on the stability that God offers you. The stability that Christ offers you in knowing that you have hope and a God who cherishes you and takes care of you when nobody else does and in your times of need. So in the Lord, put your trust, as verse 1 says, and as David did. Now, continuing on here, we can think about even as David, who had soldiers under him. He could have chosen to neglect God and depend on himself, his own tactics, his own human allies, because he certainly had them. But David chose to depend on the only ally that really mattered and that would always stay by his side, God. Truly, God is the greatest ally that a man or a woman could ever have in this life. And we need to, as Christians, understand that and enact that all the time. Learn this lesson. Don't trust in man, trust in God. Do what David did here. In the Lord I put my trust. Don't worry so much about the things that happen in life. Rather, lean on God. When maybe you don't have a physical shoulder to lean on that spiritual shoulder that God is offering you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So trust in the Lord with all your heart, not with some of it, not with a portion of it, but all of it. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God's understanding. Lean on the knowledge of God, and He shall direct your paths. So depend upon God. Depend upon what He offers you. Don't depend so much on, you know, taking care of yourself and doing everything yourself. You have a Father, brethren. You have a Father that takes care of you, that takes care of me. We have a beautiful, amazing God and Father in heaven who cares for us and takes care of us in ways that we can't even imagine. We have a beautiful God like that, and we need to take advantage of that in the form of going to Him more often, you know, asking Him for help more often, trusting in Him more often. Allow Him to direct your paths. A few more things here. Psalm 28 and verse 7. If you trust in God, God will direct your paths and your ways. He will take care of you. Psalm 28 and verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song I will praise Him." So, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. He's the one who blocks all of those hardships of life for me. I trust in Him, and I am helped. I am helped by my greatest ally ever. So put that in application once again to your own life. Think about the worst and most hard things that you've ever been through. And we've all got different lives and different stories. We've all had extremely hard hardships no matter where we're at in life. And, you know, some even harder than others. But still, trust in God and He will take care of you. Let Him be your strength and shield. And praise Him no matter what happens. You know, trust in God no matter what happens, that He will deliver you and endure for years, if it takes years. Even so, Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37 and verse 5. If you turn there with me as well, says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him," verse 7. "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass." Continuing on, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Psalm 37, another beautiful psalm, of course. I encourage you to read later. But commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So not relying on those men again, not relying on other people, but relying on God. As those kings made that mistake, those examples are still in the Bible for you so that you will understand. Stop leaning on other people more than you are God. Lean on God first. Make Him the priority in your life. And brethren, if you do that, if you endure with God being the priority, with God being the top trust in your life, the top, you know, asset in your life, well, then you can have that freedom of mind. You can have that peace of mind. You don't have to worry so much. And God will take care of you. He will take care of you as He takes care of the birds, as He takes care of the animals, as a fish, as anything He ever takes care of, the plants. He will take care of you much more so. So, beautiful things we can think about. Continuing on in our main psalm, though, if you would, Psalm 11. Let's continue reading here. Verse 2. Psalm 11, verse 2. For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. So, as we continue talking about this, don't listen to the counsel of men. Don't listen only to the counsel of the fear of men. They're going to try to make you run away and flee, as we read in Psalm 11, verse 1. The wicked threaten the righteous with weapons, try to scare the righteous. They may even literally attack the righteous, as they did our brethren back in the first century A.D. And they did all throughout the centuries after that. We know denominations would combat each other. And even as you go through church history, and I encourage you to do so, it's very interesting. The Church of Christ, of course, all throughout church history these last 2,000 years A.D. once again, well, they were still being persecuted in different ways, even sometimes literally and physically, and were losing their lives, not just in the first century. So that can happen today too. And if it did, once again, still trust in God. So they'll try to destroy our faith. They try to discourage us, is what this psalm is getting at. But nonetheless, there's always going to be those who discourage us. There's always going to be that evil element in the world. Evil is always going to try to be at our door, to try to devour us, to try to take us, destroy us, just as Satan does, 1 Peter 5:8. He waits patiently and he until he can devour you, until he can destroy you whenever you're in those times of weakness. And so we have to be aware of that, brethren. Still choose to trust in God just as David did. David understood that, of course, no matter what another person do to you, God is David's best bodyguard and provider. So we might think about our parents as our best bodyguard and provider. Well, what happens when our parents pass away? What do we do then? What happens when our brother or sister or whoever else, or maybe even our spouse, pass away? Who will provide for us then? Who will cherish us and love us maybe as much then? Well, that's why you lean on God, brethren, because the things of this life are physical. The things of this life vanish away and pass away quickly. Life is as a vapor. And so we have to lean on God. We have to trust in God. Stop trusting in ourselves, in our own ability to take care of things in this life. Even, you know, physical things, financial things, whatever it is, brethren, health issues. Lean on God in those matters, whether it's taxes, whatever it is. I know those things can get really stressful. Lean on God in those matters. Trust in God even in those, even maybe simple matters. Don't let those things stress you out so much. Matthew chapter 10, if you would, 27 through 31. Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 through 31. And of course, another example that we can maybe bring to our attention. This afternoon, how many people do we have in here? You know, we've got, what, 10 people in here? This morning, how many did we have in here? I mean, look at those numbers right there on that board. What does it say? 40, 30? We had that many last week, and then how many do we have this Sunday afternoon? Well, the majority of those last Sunday afternoon were visitors. What does that say about some of the, you know, I mean, you're just thinking about it. Why are they not here this afternoon? It frustrates us. It may upset us. But still, brethren, you know, those things can really discourage us. And they discourage even me as a preacher, because I preach over and over the same things, you know, saying, please try to be here. Please try to be here. And it's important for you to be here. But then nobody shows up. You know, maybe one or two. But brethren, it's about maybe those one or two that show up. It's about still come, you know, those who still come and do their best to, you know, those who are watching on the internet. I know we have some people watching on the internet. But those who are doing their best for God, those who are trying to be here as best they can and are showing their love for God, it's about those people. It's about those people who truly care. And so don't just think about the negative things. And that's the point of this lesson. Stop relying on negatives. Stop relying on people. Rely on God and rely on getting yourself and your brethren and your family, relying on getting those who really care about God to heaven, and those who really, you know, show that potential of wanting to go be with God in heaven and really show love for God. Not everybody's going to show that. It's just the truth. Not everybody's going to show that love for God. I've got many family members who don't show that love for God. I've got, you know, my dad's a preacher, my grandfather's a preacher, but still, there's many in my family who they don't care to, you know, to listen to them. They don't care to listen to me. They just don't want anything to do with God. I'm sure many of your families same way. And so, brethren, don't let those things get you down so much where it discourages you and stops you from being the Christian you need to be and the growing Christian you need to be. All right, Matthew 10, 27 through 31. Let's read that together. Whenever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You have more value than many sparrows. Continue down to verse 34 with me. Verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So understand the meaning of all of that. Understand the lesson here and how it correlates with our psalm. Putting your trust in God, you know, doing anything for God whenever people are not reliable, whenever people are not trustable, and they lie to you and they do bad things to you, trust in God. Brethren, we have to be there for each other. We have to love each other. We have to be unified together in fellowship under Christ. But still, we're not going to be perfect. So what do? You lean on your Creator. You lean on your head. You lean on your King. You lean on Christ. You lean on God. So that's what we should do, brethren. You know, whatever it takes, if it means losing a brother, if it means losing a sister, a father, a mother, still lean on God and put God first. Mark chapter 8, Psalm 118 and verse 6, that real quick. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 also says the same thing. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. So the same thing there in the book, in the Gospel account of Mark. But like King David chose to give into the temptation of giving up on God sometimes, and maybe seeing all the storms of life only and not trusting in God, well, David here, you know, he chooses rather to trust in God in this moment. We know David had some struggles in his life. We all have that. But still, you know, in this moment, he's choosing now to trust in God. And brethren, if you haven't done it in the past, you can have forgiveness for that. If you've stumbled into sin because of that, you can have forgiveness for that. You can get that right with your God today, with your forgiving and loving and merciful God, our forgiving God. So trust in God. Believe that he will take care of you. Believe that he will aid you in times of need. And have the response of faith. Have the response of faith. Let's continue in our psalm. Psalm 11 and verses 4 through 7. Let's finish this out. Psalm 11, verses 4 through 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone, a burning wind, shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Some of the most famous verses in the Bible this psalm holds, like the Lord tests the righteous, for the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, and upon the wicked he will rain coals. Well, these things here, what's David's response of faith? These are things, of course, that David, ultimately the Holy Spirit, is saying. But he's accounting for these things and how the Lord is and what the Lord does. He tests the righteous. He chastens perhaps the righteous. He disciplines the righteous for their own good. Different ways you can say that or think about it, of course. Job chapter 5 and verse 17 is a good one for chastening, how the Lord chastens us. And then Hebrews chapter 12 verses 6 through 11 is another good one. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 6 through 11. I encourage you to read those on your own time. But David knows what God is going to do to the wicked. He knows what God is going to do to the sinful. No doubt Hosea, as we, you know, are thinking about this morning as we're introducing that minor prophet's book, he knows what God is going to do to his brethren because they choose sin over God, because they choose sin over righteousness. They hate good. And so he knows what God's going to do to them. As they're sitting, you know, anywhere where Hosea is most likely preaching, as Amos was and many other prophets, and they're spitting at him, they're saying, stop preaching, we don't care about your message, and they hate it so much, they didn't want to hear it. Well, people do that today. But nonetheless, he's still preaching, and you need to understand, and he had to understand, and I have to understand as a preacher too, that it's not you that they're hating, it's God that they're hating. And you need to trust in God nonetheless. Put your faith and your endurance and everything that is in you in prioritizing God and prioritizing how God loves you. And even if everybody rejects you, even if everybody rejects the message of God around you, you can still be saved. Think about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. One guy, Lot, and his family, and then his wife, of course, would turn around and turn in a pillar of salt. But then Lot's two daughters, well, walked out. They were the only ones of an entire city. The whole city was destroyed in the very beginning, you know, of the starting of like cities and all these civilizations. And one of the first ones already destroyed for such sin. And a few only made it out of that. And then, of course, you have the flood account of Noah and his family. We had only those few people saved on that ark, whenever everybody else, majority of the world, chose death in sin. Chose sin and chose themselves. So even though that's the case, even with the church, even when people don't show up as much, you know, for services, don't let that discourage you. Don't let that get you down to where you stop being the Christian that you need and want to be. Let that, you know, let that fury you and to where, you know, to make you like Hosea was, to go out and preach even harder, to go out and try to get the people to come back to services even harder. Let that do that. And brethren, as I'm saying these words to you, I'm saying them to me because I have this same problem. I get discouraged. As a preacher, I preach constantly to people things that I you know, everybody here wants them to hear right now who's sitting in these pews. But then we can't get them to come back. We can't get them to come back. Why is that? You know, it may be for a number of reasons, but still, we do the best we can as Christians. We extend the message. Hosea extended the message back in his day. Every prophet, every apostle did in their day, God's message. That's all you can do. People are going to make their decisions nonetheless. But think about, of course, this response of faith that we can have even today during hardships and struggles, that God is holy and God is going to take care of the righteous. He's going to take care of those who choose holiness in their life. He's going to take care of the priesthood, and the priesthood today is the Church of Christ entirely. He's going to take care of us. He's going to watch over us. He's going to love us. If we repent, He's going to forgive us through Christ. And so, stop thinking about the negative. Stop stressing out and thinking about only the evil in this world. Think about how there is good and think about how there is God and there is hope coming for you and for me. God is righteous. God loves righteousness. He stands for the upright. So just as we stand for Him, He stands for us. It is a mutualistic relationship between us and God, brethren. It's not a thing, you know, where we're the only ones doing things. No, God does do things, and He still does things today. He has not left us here. He has not left us at all. A few more verses for you. You can write down Revelation 19 and verse 20. Revelation 19 and verse 20. And the book of Revelation is entirely talking about the victory that we have in Christ. And so if you get discouraged in your life, brethren, I encourage you to go read the book of Revelation. Although at some places it may be a little confusing, just keep things in their context and you will understand the message that everything for the Christian is leading to victory. All right, Revelation 19, verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with a sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Of course, so talking about even Christ on that white horse, verse 11, I encourage you to go read that later. That's not what the lesson is about. But all these are very, very encouraging messages. You know, the book of Revelation, when I was back in the preaching school, was probably one of the most encouraging books that of all of them. Now, that's not to say all of them are not encouraging, but Revelation is just a beautiful book because the whole thing is speaking about victory that a Christian has in God in Christ. So if you get discouraged, read Revelation. Sing a song. Sing a hymn. Go say a prayer. You know, go ask a brother for help or a sister for help or, you know, do things that will help you spiritually. Don't dwell on the negatives. Don't dwell on the stresses. That is what my dad tells me all the time. Stop dwelling on the negatives. Stop dwelling on the stresses. Stop dwelling on maybe, you know, one person who hurts you. Dwell on, you know, rather think of all the positives. Think of all the good things that you have in your life. Think about how much you can trust in your God and how He does provide for you and take care of you. And brethren, as Christians, we should always know that. Psalm 115 and verse 3, but our God is in heaven, He does whatever He pleases. And then, of course, one last set of verses that we'll read. Read a few more here, and then we'll be finished. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Those are beautiful verses that encourage me, brethren, and what I encourage you to do as well as myself, is to go to these verses in those times of need. No doubt David, whenever he was in those times of need and his trials that he went through in his life, and even after committing the sin with Bathsheba, no doubt when he repented and when he was, you know, trying to do better, he went to former accounts. He went to, you know, Exodus, the book of Exodus. He went to Deuteronomy. He went to Leviticus, Numbers, Genesis. He read those books. They had those books, those scrolls at the time. And so no doubt he went back to the book of the law. He read about those things in those accounts. And he read about former brethren of his that, you know, from different times who tried, you know, who had struggles just as he did, but that still were able to trust in God and get through their struggles. And so that's what we're trying to look at today as far as our day and time. Just as David did, let's do the same thing. Let's trust in God. Let's read the Bible. Let's do better as Christians and not be so stressed out in such a stressful, stressful world. Because this, brethren, this is a stressful world. You as well as I know it. It is a fast-moving, fast-paced world. And out here in Berryville, it's not as fast. And I'm very thankful for that compared to where I used to live. But still, this is a very fast-paced world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Remember that God is chastening you, is testing you, taking care of you even in discipline. So times of that are hard do not mean that God is not with you. It can even, you know, Brother Brandon in the men's breakfast yesterday was saying that it can even give you connections, that you'll be able to meet people. Maybe you're in the hospitals or different, you know, health struggles you have, you'll be able to meet people, connect with different people where you can maybe extend them the example of Christ or the gospel. Matthew 25, verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And one more, brethren, one more. John chapter 17 and verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. We have a righteous Father. We should know it. We should remember it in every day of our life. And trust and lean and count on your Father, brethren. We need to trust our Father. We need to count on Him. When our physical father fails us, count on your spiritual Father, because He is there at all times. If you have any need this afternoon, if you have prayers for yourself or for a family member that you have need of, or if you need to ask for forgiveness for any sins before God today, we would like to help you with that. We would ask that you would come to the front as we're about to stand and sing so that we can pray with you and take care of this with you. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to become one. If you believe Jesus is the Son of the living God today, if you're willing to make that confession with your mouth and willing to repent of your sins, you have to be baptized into the water to receive that remission of sins and to be added to the kingdom of God, and then you must remain faithful for the rest of your life to receive the crown of life. If you have any needs today, please come to the front as we stand and praise God together.
There's a fountain praising for you and me. Let us haste to its spring. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, to the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living well, and its waters swell, and eternal life they can give. And we joyful sing, ever spring, oh spring, as we haste to drink and to live. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and the soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
619. We'll sing this song and then be dismissed in prayer.
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing. nothing to see. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friend in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above.
Bow with me, brethren. O Lord, our God, our Father who art in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for your Son who died for us. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for this place in which we can worship without being in any way molested or troubled, Lord, that we can come and worship you. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, that chose not to be here this evening. May we say an encouraging word to them or set a better example or do something, Lord, that they not want to come back. Heavenly Father, we know that we can't be discouraged to the point that Lord, that our faith falters. We know that we have to do the best we can. And Lord, we know if we are faithful unto death, you will give us a place, that mansion in heaven that you have promised. And Lord, we're so thankful for that place that is called heaven. We're thankful, Lord, that you hear our prayers concerning the sick. We pray that you would be with each one that's been mentioned, Lord. We know there's a lot of them out with COVID, and we pray that you would bless each one of them, and may the doctors help them, and they can regain their health soon. Lord, be with us as we depart here. We pray, Lord, that we don't forget who we are. And Heavenly Father, may they be a door open that we can teach someone this week. Father, thank you once again for all things. Forgive us in Jesus' name.
Amen.